Nice to see you. I want a lady who's never ever been to this church before to come up to the front as a volunteer. Trust me. I'm a pastor and a Bull supporter, okay? Well, if you won't, I'll choose you. Oh, you look like a good choice. Why don't you come and join me here, ma'am? You could just, thank you very much indeed. What's your name?
Courtney.
Courtney. Awesome. Come stand just over here and face the crowd, Courtney. And just like over there. Like right over there. Trust me, I'm a pastor. You're in for it. Can you imagine, see, Courtney? Dis groot probleme. Kan jy my hoor? Ja. Kom vrou. Nou sê? Ja, dankie vrou. Is my second wife? She just looks like it. She's actually my first wife. Johan, come and help me here. If you can put your arms out, ladies, like out. Net so, so. Okay. Johan, can you help me here, please, brother? With that thing that you... Yeah. You Afrikaners can't get everything right, eh? How you feeling, Kwanya? You feeling all right? Are you sure? Not really. Hoe voel jy, vrou? Excuse? Hoe voel jy hulle? Hoe voel jy, vrou? Nie veel goed nie. Is jy haar boyfriend? Jy man? Hoe voel jy? Nie so lekker nie. Ten die Engelse dominee het mal gegaan. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Okay, as jy nie verstaan nie, maak julle oor toe. Luister mooi. Let's close your eyes. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would prune your church today. Not this church, that church. In this nation, that you, Lord God, would come and take away every branch that bears no fruit. And those who are listening online now, Lord God, I pray that we'd submit ourselves to the powerful processes of a great God who will not allow us, Lord God, to just grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. If you want to take things off us, Lord God, you want to remove things from us, Lord God. You want to prune us, Lord God. Lord, may we trust you like these two women. Knowing, Lord God, that in the hands of a loving Father, powerful purposes of God would take place. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you, young lady. So I prepared this week with two knives in my hands. I prepared the sermon with these two knives in my hands, and I got so excited. I got so excited that I stuck this one in there. But that's not the truth. But I did prepare a sermon this morning called The God with a Knife. And I had to write a whole, about 30 pages of permission to the doctor who had to take a malignant growth out of my face. A doctor that I've never met in my life. I just heard by his reputation that he's the best guy taking out basal cell carcinoma. So I went there. And after that, I met a plastic surgeon. I think he's done work on a few of you.
Ladies.
He said, "Where are you from?" I said, 3CI. He said, "No, I know 3CI. I said, "Yes, doctor." And so I had 14 stitches on my face given by a doctor who was highly skilled, a doctor that I'd never met before in my life. And I want us today to give permission to the doctor of heaven to cut out some of the things in our lives.
Amen.
That are no longer needed.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. The God of the knife. Yeah. And so I prepared the whole week with these knives in my hand. They were in my bag. And on Thursday afternoon at about 3:45, I got a phone call from a young girl in the church. She said, "I need to come and see you urgently before 4:00. And I said, "Why?" She said, "I just need to come and see you." She sat in my office. She started to weep with her boyfriend. She said, "I have to make a decision by 4 because I've been found with malignant growths in my neck. And if I don't make a decision by 4, it's going to be 6 months' time. I'm really trusting God to heal. What do you think, Rory?" And I said, "I can just tell you I've been preparing a sermon called God with a Knife." And at 4:00, she made a decision. And yesterday, she went through the operation. I feel like God needs to do something, not just in our own personal lives, but in the life of the church in South Africa. Because we've just developed this growing, 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 growing church, which depends on numbers and successes and buildings and all those things. But the only thing that will change this nation is a church that is vitally linked to Christ.
Amen.
And because we are keeping all these different things going, we have got too much energy going into unnecessary things. And this nation needs a church that relies solely on God. And so as I speak, I don't know what God needs to cut, but he will cut.
Yes.
Cut he will. So let's turn to John chapter 15, if you don't mind. I've been going into a whole lot of bookshops in the last week. And one of the biggest sections in every single bookshop is a self-help section. There is just one book after the next about self-help. And I want to tell you, self-help books cannot change this nation. The only way we can change is an internal change that affects our lives internally. I was thinking as I walked through this door, how do you change gender-based violence? You can have Women's Week in August. You can have programs in schools. But unless God can get into the hearts of arrogant, chauvinistic men and change them from the inside out, you will never stop gender-based violence. You say, "Rory, can we not have a go?" You can have as much go as you like. But unless we get down into the depths of the heart of human beings, we will not change the behavior of this nation. I wrote this down. How do you change a stingy person into a generous person? You can get a pastor standing up in the front on a Sunday screaming his heart out, as most churches do, to get money out of you. And you can become obedient to the giving of money, but never become a generous person.
Yeah.
You can mechanically give your tithe every month, but it doesn't come out of an internal change that's happened inside of your heart. And so you can go for 20 years being generous without being a generous person. How do you take a religious person and make them free? I was thinking, what does Afrikaanderdom in Pretoria think when a young black guy gets on the stage and starts singing, and I will be even more undignified than this. Oh, na 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 na. Oh. That's not a black guy singing. That's scripture. Yeah. Sure. That comes from 2 Samuel chapter 6. When King David, the most dignified man in the land, when he realized that his worship of God was greater than the dignification of his kingship, he started to dance before God. And I will come even more undignified than this. Na, 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 na. And his wife was sitting in the balcony. Her name was Michal. And she was looking down, and the Bible says, and despised him in her heart. And the next verse says, and she was barren till the day she died. I tell you, unless dignified people in this nation, presidents and ministers and some of you doctors, start dancing undignified in front of people, we will continue to have a barrenness in this nation that is dictated to by positions of society instead of the freedom of Christ. I'm telling you that, friends. And I'm saying to you, stop being dignified. Christ saved you from hell. He saved you from hell. With all your degrees and all your success and all your diplomas and all your standing in society, you are nothing but for Christ. Amen. And unless that juice can take you on the inside, you will continue to remain a person standing here in the dignity of your societal position and make no fruitfulness to the forward momentum of this nation. We need God to cut back all the rubbish that we've picked up over the years so that we can worship Him freely and bring into our nation a new flow of His Spirit that will change the societal structures. Brilliant. Instead of sitting and thinking, oh, I brought my parents to church and there's a black guy on stage worshiping, say, thank you, God, for that young man who is not scared of the societal norms of this nation, but will worship freely. Lord God, please may I follow Him too. And everything that stops me, cut it off. Yeah. Cut it off, God. Brilliant. How can a selfish person become unselfish? How can a controlling, manipulative person become a liberator? Mm-hmm. That wife of yours is not a toy, sir. That is a daughter of God. And you serve her and you love her and you lay down your life for her. And if you, the breadwinner, bringing money in, then bless her with the first fruits of your salary, sir. How can a cowardly person become courageous? How can a whiner become a giver? How can a warrior become a rock? How can a bigot become understanding? If we plug ourselves into the tree, the root of life. I want to tell you about a man in this church, Andrew Milne. I don't know if you're here this morning, Andrew Milne. Are you here, Andrew? Why don't you stand, Andrew? Can you put the certificate on the wall, please? Andrew drove past our church one day, and he wasn't well. He was sick. And he popped in and he said, I'm actually not well, I'm not employed, but I love gardening, and I can come and work in your garden. This week, we got awarded a gold medal for the church gardens. Can we give Andrew a hand? He is the hardest working man. He understands gardening. He understands sowing and reaping. He understands pruning and removing. And you'll come here any day of the week, including Mondays, and he's got big things on his knees and he's inside of the plants. And you've got to walk past this garden and think, somebody has had access here. His name is Andrew. But I want to tell you something else. God, the Father, wants access to your garden today. He wants to do some pruning and reshuffling and moving around so that you can produce fruit. Amen? Nice to see you. Pastor Rory is my name. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off, say cuts off, every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it'll be even more fruitful. When I read this scripture, I just think of the church in South Africa that has just grown and grown, and these mega churches have just grown and grown and grown. And I feel God say, I've got to cut you back. I've got to cut you back. Numbers, power, authority, influence, I've got to cut you back to the very important thing, which is me and Christ. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me. Say remain.
Remain in me.
Remain in me and I will remain in you. What's your besigheid, Piet?
Electrical.
Electrical. So what do you do as an electrician?
Electrical work.
Electrical work. Well done. It's not rocket science, eh? Hello, doctor. Hoe gaan dit? Ken jy die ouetjie wat my gesig gesny het? Wat is sy naam? Nee, ek kan nie verseë nie, want daar's baie mense wat na hom toe gaan. He asked me if I wanted a facelift. I said, not just yet. Thank you very much. Tummy tuck, maybe, bottom. A bit of nip and tuck, I don't know. But you would mainly rewire buildings, is that not right? Exactly. So when an electrician comes into a house, he rewires it. If we pray for the renewing of the church, we pray for revival. So the church was revived, and then we ask that it gets revived. The house was wired, then we ask that it gets
revived.
We were in Christ, that was the main thing. And then he says, will you
remain?
You understand? The church has to go back to the main thing and remain. It's got to remain itself in what was important in the first place. That's how the best way to understand remain. And the reason I'm saved, the reason I'm free, the reason I'm radical, the reason that I dance undignified before Christ is I once was a sinner, and then the main thing hit me that Jesus Christ came and he set me free. And because of that, I will be even more undignified than this. Oh, na, 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 na. And I see people look down at me and think, has that guy gone nuts? No, just remaining in Christ. I have to make sure that the main thing remains the main thing, and that is you were a sinner, and so was I, and Christ died for us.
Beautiful.
And set us free, and he gave us authority, he gave us identity, and that joint has to stay there if we're going to change this nation. I see all these pastors that go and meet with politicians and government and meet with the mayor. I don't have to have a single meeting with the mayor. I don't care if every law in this nation stops the church from meeting. The government cannot control the church. It's impossible. You can stop us. Everybody, I got a thing last night. Stop this because the L something party is going to stop people from supporting. You can't stop a join in Christ. You can jump on your head. You can't stop it. Can't be stopped by government. But it can change a nation. It can change a nation. Remain in me and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in the vine. All that stuff you're producing. Holiday homes, aeroplanes, all that stuff. It's nothing. It's nothing if it doesn't come from Christ. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do
Nothing. You can be a rugby player. You can be a professor of a thing. You can be a doctor, like there's a doctor there. There's an electrician. Apart from him, you can do nothing. And you know what worries me about the church, including this church, is some of the things we are doing are nothing. Absolutely nothing. Throw it away, chuck it away, chuck it in the fire. It's rubbish. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that my joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Why are we here? You've got to ask the question, why are we here? The reason we're here is to produce fruit. What does fruit look like? I met some fruit in Atterbury Road the other day. I am cut in front of a guy. I am take full responsibility. I believe he was 150 meters behind me. He feels he was 15 meters behind me. I thought he was doing 60. According to the rules, he was doing 120. So the distance between my car and his car closed very quickly. He let me know that. I was to blame. So at the next robot, he made sure he came next to me to produce fruit. The problem, he had been eating prickly pears. It's a fruit, but it's not such a lacquer fruit. It sits in your throat. So when I rolled down my window and he gave me his fruit, it wasn't good fruit. But he had already spilt his fruit by the time he realized I was his pastor. I've seen you've been avoiding me. But I know your face and the number plate of your car. And I would like you to come up afterwards. I've got a hacksaw here that I would like to cut off some branches.
Wow. Brilliant.
The fruit is simple. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, self-control.
Say it again.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. And we've got to say, gentlemen, I can't talk to the wives and the men and the women, but we've got to say, gentlemen, we are living on the edge of producing bad fruit. So God sends a man. Why don't you stand, Pete? I'm English, he's Afrikaans. I'm charismatic, he's conservative. And God says, I'm going to make you brothers. I'm going to make you friends.
Love you.
And I was sitting with a man this week, and I realized as we were sitting, Pete, it's like salt and pepper. If you say to someone, Pastor, salt and pepper, it comes together. We're different, but we're the same. And friendship, the way Bible does, is not just looking at each other. Friendship is when you actually start looking and we start working for God together. And then I started to look at how many tables you got. You can keep standing. How many tables the salt and pepper separates. And you realize, actually, if we are in the vine, it says if we're in the vine, we start to love. And then what happens is we start to become friends. And then we're not the same, but we start working together. Go to a table today at a restaurant and you'll see how many times the salt and pepper are separated because we are not remaining in Christ and we are allowing little things to separate us from the people that God has given to us. So elke keer as ek jou sien, hulle sê my Afrikaans is sleg, maar ek dink dit word beter. Baie, dankie. Jy is my vriend. En die Here het gelaat dat ek en jy vriende sal raak. Ons het baie saam gehuil. Ons het jou seun saam begrawe. En jou ma en jou pa. Maar ek weet, elke tyd as jy in die moeilikheid is, kom jy na hierdie plek toe. Maar die Here wil mense wys, hoe gaan hierdie Engelsmense en die Afrikaners saamwerk? Net so. Ons gaan saam huil. Ons gaan die Here saam bedien. Ons gaan jou boetie saambring en jou sissie en die dokter. And as we start to draw like this, God cuts some of the stuff away. Cut some of the stuff away. And as we get closer to him, we think, so how's this going to work? It's going to work like this. Pete and Rory are going to go into Pretoria and we're going to sit together and think, yo, the Here is sterk, hulle saam. Hoe? From the bottom here. Let me show you some of the great parenting from Homer Simpson. You know what worries me? Is there so much dumb parenting in this world that when we get to God the Father, we think we have a better understanding of our own lives than He has of our lives. These are the statistics of some of the situations in the world. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes, 5 times the average. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes, 32 times the average. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders are from fatherless homes, 20 times the average. 71% of all high school dropouts are from fatherless homes, 8 times the average. And Rory, you stand up here and you tell me the Father is the gardener and He's going to cut off every branch in me that produces no fruit. And even the branches that produce fruit, He's going to prune. I don't trust Him. We're not talking about Homer Simpson. We're talking about God the Father. He said, but Rory, I didn't have a dad like yours. Barack Obama didn't either. Barack Obama was engaged when he made Barack's teenage mother pregnant. And he believed in God and became president of the nation. Bill Clinton's father was killed when he was in his mother's womb and he became president of the nation. Oprah Winfrey never met her dad. She was brought up by her grandparents. God bypasses our biological process and He links us to heaven. I was going to preach about love and joy and obedience and friendship. But this is what I want to preach. Are you prepared to trust the Father of heaven to prune your vine today? To cut away everything that is unhelpful, even some of the healthy things, for God to prune them back. Because if you go into a vineyard, you can sometimes see healthy branches lying all over the ground and think, what happened here? This is the process of God. Yeah. If you can put up Hebrews 12 for me, please. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you'll not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. Say, sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children, just keep it up, and not true sons. The King James Bible says you are bastards. You are bastards. It's horrible to be disciplined, but it's biblical. And not true sons. Next verse. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it, or maybe some of you didn't. How much more should we submit to the Father? Say, Father, of our spirits and live. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, say later on. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained, gymnasio, by it. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest. Say pain.
Pain.
Produces.
Produces.
Pain produces. I wrote this down. Nothing was cut off. It was not a gain to lose, and would have been a loss to keep. I had a small, tiny, little red mark on my cheek. I now have 14 stitches in here, 14 stitches in here, because that little red mark had a body underneath. And under the very skillful hand of a man who had studied for 13 years, he sliced my face open and he took something out. Nothing was cut off. It was not a gain to lose and would have been a loss to keep. Heavenly Father, Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Our relationship with him is not mechanical. The branch does not get stuck on, does not get screwed on, does not get pop riveted on. It comes out of the vine. It comes out of the root. It is an organic growth. We cannot take angry men and make them unangry other than you come inside. We cannot take racist men and make them unracist other than you come from inside. We cannot take gender-based violence men and make them non-gender-based violent unless you come from inside. Would you do something organic in the hearts of every person here today? And then, Lord God, that which is unhelpful, you cut back. And where the season is over and gone, and if anything in this church, if we rely on anything of our history or of momentum or of influence or of a good name, would you cut it, Lord God? Would you completely and utterly rip it back to just the join between you and us? Remain in me, and I will remain in you. And you will produce fruit, much fruit, and fruit that will last. I pray, Lord, from this church, young, old, rich, poor, black, white, English, Afrikaans, married, single, divorced, we would produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Because that will change our nation. That will change our government. That will change the poor. that will change. Just say this with me if you believe it. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I know you are good.
I know you are good.
I know you are kind.
I know you are kind.
I know you are generous.
I know you are generous.
But you also carry a knife.
You also carry a knife.
Cut where you have to.
Cut where you have to.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.